Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, and we love you so much, and I just thank you for this opportunity to speak and to teach on this topic that you have made near and dear to my heart. And I love you so much, and I just pray that the women in this room are edified because we are trying to bring you glory in our thoughts and our words and our actions and our deeds. And I just pray that women would walk away from this with a greater love of who you are and a greater excitement and enthusiasm to put your word in their hearts. And it's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so I am Bonnie Silcox, if you don't know. And I just want to say good afternoon and thanks for coming. I have the super fun job of being right after lunch. Everyone's had their cannolis and is ready to settle in for a nice nap. So I will do my best to kind of keep you awake and keep you going. We are here to talk about scripture memorization. And you might be wondering why are we talking about scripture memorization? Well, I love it. I love it. So I am super passionate about it. I haven't been doing it forever, but I really genuinely just love it. And so I hope that no matter where you are in your journey with it, maybe you love it too, and you're like, yeah, super nerd in here with me. And maybe you're thinking, whoa, this is too much enthusiasm for lunch, and you're already looking at the door and rethinking your choices, but you're stuck now. So I'm glad you're here. Whatever your reason, I'm super glad you're here. And my genuine prayer, as it has been for months for all of you, is just that you would choose to see your Savior more in this and love him more through this time of being able to spend time with him in fellowship doing it. So I am a big picture kind of gal. Let's see if I can get my, she said, really press the button on the technology. Let's see. Here we go. I'm pressing it. Oh, there we go. I just wanted to make sure you were still with me, Severa. That's what wanted to happen. So we'll see how that goes. You might end up being right there. Okay, so if you are a big picture kind of gal like I am, I'm going to walk real quickly through the major outline that we're going to cover today. What is scripture memorization? What are the major obstacles? Why should we memorize scripture? Which scripture would you choose? What's sort of the goal of scripture memory? How we should get started, and then really, how do we make it a lifetime habit? Because that is the goal here. And also throughout the class, we are going to memorize a verse of scripture. And so when you get the all black screen with just the white words, that will be the verse that we are going to be practicing when that comes up. So the first thing we're going to do, though, before we get into the rest of that, is play a little game of finish that lyric. So y'all, I'm going to sing a couple times, and I'm a terrible singer, so you forewarned. Okay, so I'm going to do a little bit, and then you're just going to all chorus in with me. Do not leave me hanging, okay? Then one foggy Christmas Eve,
Santa came to say.
Yep. All right, perfect. All right, let's do the next one. A Yankee Doodle went to town,
riding on a pony.
Perfect. All right. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
Perfect.
We
have
some under God. Indivisible, liberty.
There's always an overachiever in the room. It's Amanda. So yes, exactly. This is the point. We all know we have excellent memories. We want to think that we don't, but we really have very, very good, very capable memories. And you might be looking at this list and thinking, this is just the stuff I learned as a kid. But really, I'm certain that most of us have learned a new song this year, or maybe even this month. We've learned a new skill. We have, learned to garden something new, or learned to bake something new, or learned a new technology. So the point is, we can learn things, if we're motivated. And that's really what it comes down to. Ooh, my sound effect even worked. Okay, so this is the verse we're going to memorize today. And what we're going to do for right now is I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to read it all first, and then we're going to chorus it back and forth. So I'll read it first. It is Psalm 1:2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So now we'll do it in pieces. I say it, and then you say it. Psalm 1:2.
Psalm 1:2.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord.
And who meditates on his law day and night.
And who meditates on his law day and night.
Psalm 1:2.
Psalm 1:2.
You guys are going to be great at this. That was awesome. I had literally planned I was going to make you have to do it again, but I didn't. That was great. Okay. All right. That was perfect. Okay. So the first thing we're really going to tackle is what is scripture memorization? I wrote my own little definition, so this is not anything but, out of Bonnie's brain, but it really just is the practice of learning scripture passages by heart. The practice of learning scripture passages by heart. You know, it could be short phrases, it could be verses, it could be full chapters, and there are people out there that learn full books. The amount of scripture matters less than the regular practice of it. So the amount of scripture is not as important as the regular practice of it. Okay, and we sort of defined it by talking about this concept of, like, learning it by heart. It's the practice of learning passages of scripture by heart. So we're going to talk about what this by heart means. You know, learning things by heart has really become outdated. We do it less and less, and we'll talk a little bit more about that idea later. But the idea when we talk about learning something by heart is that you have learned the information in such a way that it's become part of you. You know it inside. You know it outside. You know it without even having to think about it. And that might be, like, there might be job information. You know, maybe you have a specialized job or things on your job that you need to know that way. It might be songs, like we just, kind of illustrated. It might be math facts. Maybe it's social security numbers, whatever. There's lots of different things that we know by heart. But the point is, it's like wake you up in the middle of the night and you can ask me, 7 times 3 is 21. That information is part of me. I know it. And this is the manner in which we need to learn scripture, that we know it, that it becomes part of us. So we're going to talk for a minute, about how we have learned why, or how we have learned the things that we do know by heart. How have we learned those things? It might be that it's for our jobs or for our hobbies, but oftentimes we learn things by heart that we're intrinsically motivated to learn by heart. Maybe it's for our job and we have to have this body of specialized knowledge, and we're motivated because it provides for our family. Maybe it's for our hobby and we're super passionate about it, and that's why we're intrinsically motivated. My eldest son is intrinsically motivated to learn anything he can about fishing. I don't have to supply extra motivation for that. He's ready to do it on his own. And there are other things that we learn by heart that take practice or take effort. And those are things that we're not intrinsically motivated to. We need some sort of outside motivation to do it. And there's lots of different types of outside motivation. And, that's kind of beyond the depth of this workshop. But those things, they take extra efforts. They take practice. But we still do it because there is some other reward for us. And then there's just things that we learn by heart because it's repetitive. It just comes over and over to us. And so we learn it doesn't necessarily take a lot of effort, but it comes through sort of this over and over exposure to it. And so there's lots of ways and lots of reasons why we would commit something to our permanent long-term memory, or we would know it by heart. So the question is, why don't we know more scripture by heart? Because if we look at the list of the things that we do know by heart, a lot of them are not very important. I've got a lot of Madonna lyrics here, stored up there, and that is not doing me any good. So let's talk about, right up front, what are some of those obstacles? What are some of the obstacles to actually doing this? And I want to say I have used every one of these as an excuse. So I'm not calling anybody out. I have used each one of these as a reason to not really to do this. But today I'm here to encourage you to push past them. Time is an obstacle for all of us. It's finite, and we only have so much of it, but we do have the gift of choosing how we want to spend it. And I'm going to suggest to you that a fruitful scripture memorization practice can start out at between 1 to 5 minutes a day. And I think we would all be hard-pressed to say, I don't have that. There are memory issues. You could have a genuine memory issue, and that could be, a potential obstacle for you. But for the most of us, we really don't have a genuine memory issue that would prevent us from trying and succeeding in this practice. A lot of times we just, it's easier for us to say, oh, I can't even keep track of my car keys, but the truth is we're keeping track of a lot, and we are able to call on our memories more than we really think so. Some of the other ones are, maybe it just seems intimidating to you. Maybe it seems scary. Or maybe you just don't have a lot of familiarity with it. Some of the last are really kind of heart issues. Maybe in the past you just haven't really want to. It just doesn't seem important enough. There's lots of things on my plate. This just hasn't kind of risen to the level of important enough. Or maybe you want to, but you just haven't really gotten around to doing it yet. So, you're here today, and I'm excited about that. You're obviously more motivated than most. You've chosen this workshop over 3 other really awesome options out there. And so I pray today that you have sort of a perspective shift on it and are excited to push past some of these things that we have told ourselves are obstacles in the past. Okay, So I am going to spend, if I can get my mouse to work, okay, just, we're going to camp out here for a little while on why would we bother memorizing scripture. And we're going to do that because motivation waxes and wanes. You know, we can start out in a new habit, like really excited, and then we go dry, you know, and we want this to be a lifetime pursuit, not just, you know, be a fad diet that starts out great for a week and then we never come back to it. And so the why of why we're doing something really can sustain us. It can get us going and it can sustain us as we move forward. So the first, that didn't go the right direction. Yeah, I told you I'm not a techie gal. There we go. Okay. Okay, so the first kind of section in the why is we're going to talk about what Scripture says about itself. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and that it is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God himself. If that's not motivation alone right there, it is. It is motivation alone. You know, and what's more important, what is more important for us than to be putting the things that God has breathed out for us in our hearts? You know, he saw fit to breathe out this entire book about himself for us. You know, and if that wasn't enough, then we get all of these different purposes for it in our lives. For training in righteousness, for correction, for reproof, that we may be complete. I don't know about you, but I want to be complete. Mm-hmm. I want to be equipped for the good works he's called me to. I even want that reproof. You know, I mean, because the opposite is to be astray and off on your own. You know, we want to be called back when we're not on the right path. And this is what does it. He has breathed all of this out for us. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's Psalm 119:11. You know, this is almost an implied command here to memorize scripture. And the psalmist knows our need for storing up scripture. And you may know the version or the translation, hide it in your hearts. That's a pretty common translation of this verse. You know, it's implied that we would want to do this. And the psalmist really can't understand a scenario in which we wouldn't want to do this. Why wouldn't we want to be storing this up in our hearts? You know, and it's this particular Psalm 119 really is a devotion to his word in general. I mean, if you ever want to know about his word, read Psalm 119. You know, and he says to store it up. Think about like bulk. Like this is not like a little bit. He means store it up in your hearts. Because I assure you, every woman here is storing up something in her heart. Is it his word? Are we storing that up? And you can note the purpose the psalmist gives here, that I might not sin against you. He's not worried about anything else but his own personal sin, that I might not sin against you. So that is tremendous motivation why we might want to do this. You know, we get moving forward in Colossians 3:16, the Holy Spirit through Paul is instructing us, saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. Again, we have this idea that it's an implied command here. He says, have it dwell in us. The language insinuates that his word has taken up root in our hearts, that it lives in us. You know, and dwell here is modified by the word richly. Like, how should it dwell? Richly. It's this idea, again, of storing it up. It shouldn't be dwelling in us minimally or barely or scantily. He says richly, luxuriously, indulgently, generously. You want a lot of this. The idea here is much. We can look at Ephesians 6, and this is the armor of God passage, which Renee is going to teach beautifully on. And it says to take up the helmet of salvation. This is Ephesians 6:17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17. Paul says, take it. as in like take it with you wherever you go. And the word, as the sword, the word is described as a sword here. The analogy here is this weapon, as he's working through, you know, the different pieces of the armor, and it's the only offensive weapon in the armor. And when Paul says take it with you, he doesn't mean take a physical Bible so you can slap people with it. You know, he says put it in your heart that it will dwell in you, so that you're ready at any moment when you're going to need it, just like a Roman soldier would be. I'm going to give you our last verse. So I'm going to try if this clicker works. This last verse that I'm going to call to your attention in terms of why we might be wanting to memorize Scripture comes to us from Isaiah. There's lots of other verses, but this will be the last one in particular. And it says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing in which I sent it." Isaiah 55:11. His word will not return empty. You may know the translation void. It will accomplish its purposes. You know, you can go back to 2 Timothy and see what those purposes are, some of them at least, the teaching, the correction, the reproof. It assures us that our time and our energy storing up his word in our heart will bear fruit. It will be worthwhile. It will accomplish his purposes. You know, you may be on a new decorating fad kick, or you may be managing a homestead, or you may be knee-deep in some project at work. And those are all things that we toil at. But none of it has this assurance. None of it has this sort of assurance. We've got some biblical examples of where this is used, where the scripture is being memorized and then being recited back and then being spoken back. One of the most classic ones is Jesus, who is taken out to the wilderness and rebukes and refutes Satan at that time. You know, I mean, the man is starving. The man is hungry. He's been out there for 40 days, you know, and Satan comes to him and says, you know, the stones would be bread if just you'd say it. You know, and what does he tell him in Matthew 4:4? He says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Mm-hmm. He quotes the scriptures to him. You know, we see this all over the Old Testament with the prophets. We see it with John the Baptist. We see it with the apostles and the disciples, all quoting scripture. And then, you know, it really calls into this Satan's greatest tactic. I mean, we've heard about it over and over, but it's because it's always happening. Do we know what God actually says? You know, Eve buys the lie from the crafty serpent in Genesis 3. Do we know what God actually said? Not like I think it's kind of in there somewhere, but do we know what he actually said? You know, when Jesus was there with Satan, he didn't pull out his phone to look the verse up. He didn't whip out a Bible. He didn't loosely kind of, you know, I think somewhere in there it kind of says something like. He knew. He knew what it says. Okay. So moving a little bit more towards some other reasons why you might want to be memorizing scripture. I call this sort of the lazy girl's meditation. It's sort of a forced way to do meditation. If you have ever tried to be very diligent about a meditation study and you have a mind, maybe like me, that runs like 1,000 miles an hour all the time, you're 8 seconds in and you're, you know, this over here and this, you know, I mean, you're all of a sudden you're planning your grocery list or you're thinking about that or you see a dust bunny or whatever. It can be very, very hard in this super hectic kind of lifestyle that we unfortunately have become addicted to a little bit to just slow down and meditate. And so scripture memory has really been a way that I can do that because I am just churning the same verse over and over and over, or the same passage over and over and over. And even when I put it down, my mind is going on it all day. I see things that remind me of it. I hear something else preached and it's talking about it. I read something else with my kids and it all just keeps going back to it. And so if you find that really quieting your mind to sit down in just regular meditation is a challenge, you will have just a super happy result of scripture memory. It's just almost this forced meditation. And so I always and I have genuinely enjoyed that result of it. The next reason why I would submit to you that it is a great idea to memorize scripture is one I really hadn't considered until recently. I was in this really great talk at a homeschool conference earlier this year, and the speaker, Andrew Pudua, was encouraging parents to prepare themselves and their children for coming persecution. And that was a new thought to me. You know, he briefly sort of set the political stage and the climate that we all are aware of what's going on, you know, in our country. And he said, you know, it's gearing up. You know, and I don't know exactly what it's going to look like in my lifetime or my children's or my grandchildren's, but we ought to be preparing now for that. And if we do prepare, and we do prepare our children, and it doesn't come in the way we think it might, praise the Lord, you know. But we are better off for having prepared. We're out nothing. We have spent more time in that preparation, and that's a good thing. And one not so small way of doing that is scripture memorization, because, I mean, he had a whole host of other things, but really zooming in on this, you know, we're spoiled. We cannot fathom a time when we wouldn't be able to open a paper Bible or pull it up on our phones. We really can't, if we're honest. But those are blessings. They are not guarantees. And at this time in history, we are a people who have the most access to the scriptures than we ever had. And instead of treating that as a gift, it has made us complacent and lazy about knowing what it really says. You know, we're spoiled, and we commit less and less and less things to memory. We know less and less and less by heart. You know, and the persecution may well be coming. And the truth is, if it does, you have to ask yourself, what would I have in my heart? If they've taken our access to it on the phones and we don't have our paper Bibles, what would I have stored up in my heart? Because that would be the moment where you need it the most. What would we have? You know, because the only place you can put it that no man can take it away is in your heart. And that is why we're instructed to do it. So this was kind of a new thought for me and a little strange at first, but really, I think, awesome to think about. You know, the other motivation I would submit to you is we need to be ready for battle at any moment. You know, even if this persecution doesn't come in our lifetimes, our children's lifetimes, the way we think it might, temptation and sin are like that. I mean, we live under a command not to covet, and we live in modern America. That's hard, you know, on top of a whole host of a million other things. You know, there's no time to get out your phone in those moments and search for a verse that we kind of vaguely know. The battle is our mind. It's our heart. That is where the battleground is. And we cannot defend ourselves with our only offensive weapon, which is the Word of God, which is that sword, which is that Word of God, if we don't know it. You know, we're told in the Word that sin is crouching at the door, and the Holy Spirit will use what you have stored up. Mm-hmm. You know, so when your temper is flaring and you're about to lose it, we need truth. Mm-hmm. When a loved one is in the hospital and they're scared and you're scared, we need truth. When your child is disobedient and just plain hard to live with, they need truth. When you're stopped by your sister in the middle of the church hallway and they're losing it, we need truth. She does not need the world's platitudes. Mm-hmm. You need to have truth stored up to speak to her. And this is not just for our own battles. I mean, the psalmist says, I will store it up in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that is one tremendous reason. But we are also called to walk this out with our sisters and be ready to encourage them and remind them what the truth is as well. All right. Oh, it went back again. Let me try it again. Okay. Oh, it went way back. Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, it's just going further back.
Yeah.
I don't know how I do that now. Okay. If you... Do I go this way? Oh, it's getting tech on me. Okay. Could you work on that?
Yeah.
While I'll just, since you have your slides there, I'll just keep rolling if you guys are good on that. Okay. The next thing here is, ladies, we do it because we can. You know, we just keep telling ourselves, oh, that's one more thing I have to do. That's one more thing I have to do. I don't know. But we need to memorize scripture because we can. You know, sometimes we just need a change of perspective about things. We don't have to memorize scripture. We get to memorize scripture. It is a privilege. You know, and in the right frame of mind, it's an act of worship. Okay, so we are going to pretend my sound effect was there, you know, and we're going to do Psalm 1 through 2 again. So I'm going to say it, and you're going to repeat, sort of repeat chorus back to me. Psalm 1, 2.
Psalm 1, 2.
Psalm 1:2.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord?
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord?
And who meditates on his law day and night?
And who meditates on his law day and night?
All right, perfect. Very good. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a little bit, super quick here on why I started memorizing the scripture. To be very honest, it seems like something I should be doing, and I should be teaching it to my kids. I did not start out of any sort of personal conviction for myself. It just felt like the thing that Christian moms were supposed to do for their kids. So we started with Awana verses, and that's where it began. And then years ago, Nate Myers, a previous children's pastor that we've had, started having the kids do longer sections of scripture for Power Hour. They did these competitions, and my oldest came home and was excited about it. And I was like, oh no, that seems like a lot of work. But he was super excited about it, so I got excited and I wanted to support what he wanted to do, so we gave it a try. And the first chapter that he took on was the chapter of Isaiah 53. And I thought, okay, it's lofty, but we did it. He did it, and I did it with him, and it was really very awesome, you know, and it really just has taken off from there. You know, we have a pretty daily scripture memorization practice in our house. You know, we do it in the morning at breakfast time. It's had lots of iterations over time, but this is really what's worked best for us, and we usually take longer passages. That's just kind of the habit that we've developed. You know, and everybody's doing it around the breakfast table, and so we're hearing it 5-6 different times every morning, which is really awesome. You know, I have a couple of these. These are the ones that, you know, are straight from the Silcox breakfast table. I can go over some of this kind of stuff with you if you're interested for the nitty-gritty. Afterwards, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. These things are well loved. Like, when we're done with them, you know, that's like, will be like a piece of my kid's childhood right there. I'd be more than happy to talk with you about it afterwards. But this discipline has been so fruitful in my spiritual development, and I just am so excited about it for that reason. I mean, just like I was talking about earlier, it is the over and over and over that has been so impactful for me, just picking it up and my brain just sort of constantly churning it. And the Holy Spirit is so good to bring it to me when I need it. It's because it's there, and he can bring it to me because I need it, and that has been really awesome. And I was going to have a little video for you, but we're experiencing technical difficulties. So we'll see. Vera, you're amazing. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I have this little video for you, and really, this is my heart in showing this to you. If you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this, just, it's possible. It is so doable. I mean, this video is a hot mess. But it just shows it in real life. I mean, I'm chopping onions for dinner, and my little kid here is, like, doing this through half of it. He's like, stop chopping those onions. It's burning my eyes. Like, it's real life. It gets interrupted, you know, but it's totally doable. It doesn't have to look like this big fancy thing. Just do it as you're going along the way. You know, this was about 4 years ago. This is my third son, my little Johnny Robert. He's a giant now, but we're working through Ephesians 2. So is it working? Let's give it a whirl.
Following the prince.
Some out of there. We're my nature.
You're getting in a hurry. The prince is
out of the air. Here I cannot work in front of the early days. Among whom we always lived in. Oh, please.
Among whom we all want to live.
And live is a passion for our flesh. Here we go. That is funny and nice.
And where am I?
Thank you. immeasurable big riches.
Immeasurable big riches of his
grace and kindness
for
us
in
Christ. This is not your doing, this is the gift of God.
So for by grace you have been saved. And this is not your own doing.
This is the gift of God.
We have two more verses. 9 is not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
No one may boast.
Okay, and then what happened
after
that?
The big kid.
Can you hear it?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
For we are his workmanship.
No,
no, yes.
No, no,
no.
I don't want to do it.
He's done. He's done. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Like,
it should cut. Yeah. Okay. So that is my sweet little Johnny Robert. And so,
amazing.
You know, it just is, it's totally doable. Like, just along the way. Like, it doesn't have to look like anything perfect. You just kind of work it in when you can. And what's awesome is we have sort of these, like, little Silcox family translations. You know, he said, like, the rest of man's kinds. We still say it that way today. You know, he said, immeasurable big riches. Big is not in the scripture, but he didn't know what immeasurable meant. So, you know, we still say it to this day, the immeasurable big riches of God. Okay, so that is just sort of a, yeah. Thank you so much. And I'll see if I can make it work up here now. Okay, so we're going to go on to quickly, which scripture should I memorize? You know, hopefully you are thoroughly motivated and excited, you know, but how would you go about choosing which scripture to memorize? So I need this next one. Yep. Thank you so much. So first, pray, you know, and then just choose wisely. Like, choose something you're already motivated to learn, you know. It may work for you that you would rather do single passages. Maybe you're interested in covering, like, a bunch of the big theological truths, and that's the way you want to do it. It may work for you that you really want to take one longer passage and do that, you know, or connect it to something else you're already studying, and that will help with you to understand context, and that's a really super great thing to do, period. You know, maybe you're having super struggles with your kids right now, and you need some, like, Proverbs in your mind all of the time so that you're not just disciplining because mom says, but because God says. You know, I mean, maybe you want to, you know, going through it and doing John 1 through 18 is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, we did that a few years ago. And so every week, just like when Pastor was reading it, the ability to just, you know, say it in my mind with him was awesome. You know, if there's something else you see in your life like that, choose that. Think about how you're going to connect it into something else, and that's helpful. The one thing I do want to say is don't be fatalistic. Nope, we can't memorize it all. But that's not a reason not to memorize some. Mm-hmm. So don't let that sort of idea, you know, I can't do it all, keep you from doing what you can do. Okay, so the goal of scripture memorization is that, the goal of scripture memorization is really, as a psalmist, he gives one potential goal, you know, that I might not sin against you, but there may be others. And ultimately, we are going to, I mean, any time we're spending learning his word is going to glorify him. And there may be some other different ones, but the point is that, you know, it is a practice. It is a practice. And so what I would say is practice makes, if you want to go on to the next one, practice makes, what would people say?
Progress.
Well, you see progress because it's already on your slide. But most people would say practice makes
perfect.
No, practice makes progress. You know, I mean, even Paul says to Timothy in the verse we had this morning from 2 Timothy 4:15, he said, focus on your progress. Focus on your progress. If you're focused on the perfection of scripture memory, it's going to destroy the whole thing for you. Focus on progress. Our God is nothing if not faithful. Be faithful in it. He's not asking for your perfection. That's his job. He's asking for your progress. He's asking for you to be diligent. He's asking for you to show up and be faithful. You know, we are all gifted differently. You may be the reference at the top and the reference at the bottom and get every single word right. You know what I mean? Good. Awesome. Challenge yourself and go for it. That may not be your bag. You know, you may never get every single word perfectly, but it doesn't mean that this isn't something that's for you and that you can try. And I do also just want to encourage you that this is just like any other skill. It will get easier as you do more of it. You know, I mean, nobody sets out to start running a marathon, you know what I mean, and thinks the first run is probably the worst. You know what I mean? Like, it gets easier. Whatever new skill you've learned, you know that to be true in your own life. So focus on the progress. And, you know, there are some passages that are just easier to memorize. Narratives are going to be a little easier to memorize than other things. So also take that into consideration. You know, so how do we get started? What we're going to do next is, if you go on then to the next one, is there's sort of these first key steps, and I really would encourage you not to skip the first key steps. The first is pray, ladies. Pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit, who authored the Word, the Holy Spirit whom you want to use the Word in your life, will help, that He will guide you in it, that He will bless your undertakings in it, that He will bless your efforts in it. I mean, failing to ask for this help, failing to ask for the Holy Spirit to help, it's like, you know, making this amazing French meal in your kitchen and with Julia Child and you don't ask her for help. You know what I mean? Like ask for the Spirit's help. It's right there and it is available to you. So pray first. Number two, study the Scripture and be sure you understand it. Do you know what it says? Do you know what it means? Memorizing something that you don't know what it says and you don't know what it means is of less value. Now, I didn't say it's of no value, but it is of less value. And number three, read the context that the verse is in. Understand what bigger narrative, what bigger letter, what bigger whatever text that it's in is in. Okay, so especially if you're just doing one verse at a time, think about that. If you're picking, if you're doing those big theological truths, then, you know, you really want to know, you're just going to pick some verses here and there, you really want to know what those contexts are. Okay, so then we're going to study the context of the verse. And I'm going to take some two familiar verses here for you. And we're basically going to try out that one of those first major steps. Do we know the context? Okay, so John 4:16 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.'" Now, who's the him? Jesus said to him, who's him? You know, who's Jesus talking to? Why? When? You know, the context of this is, well, the direct him is Thomas. He's talking to Thomas, the disciple. And he's really talking to all of the disciples. And they're in the upper room, and this is the night before his arrest. And he has washed their feet, and Judas has left. And they're talking about this new covenant. And Jesus has predicted his betrayal. He's predicted his death. And Peter says, "I'm ready to lay down my life for you, Lord." And Jesus said, "That's not really how it's going to happen, Peter. In fact, you're going to deny me." And they are confused. And they don't understand. He's told them all of these things are going to happen, and they don't get it. And they don't really understand, and they're very confused. And so we're going to pick up, and I'm going to read for you, starting John 14:1, a few verses before our verse. And he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He is Jesus. He's talking here. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How would we know the way? We don't know where you're going. How would we know the way?" Thomas is pleading with him. He doesn't understand. What's this way to where you're going? And then we pick up in our verse, and Jesus said to him, "I am the way. You know the way because you know me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man come to the Father except through me." Thomas, you know the way. I'm it. Now, it is worthwhile to memorize John 14:6, but it is richer to memorize it in its context, to know where this verse comes from. Don't skip the step of the context. We're going to do it again. This is a popular verse, Acts 16:31. I can't hear it in my head without the song. I'll save you my voice. It says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." That's Acts 16:31. But what is the context? I mean, at least in the last verse, we get the example of who's talking, but we don't even know who's talking in this verse. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? What's happening? Well, the context is Paul and Silas have been captured and stripped and beaten and flogged and imprisoned in Philippi after preaching the gospel and casting out a demon from a slave girl. And the girl's master, who used her condition to earn money, is now enraged and incites a mob to have them arrested and have all of these things done to them. And they are now put in prison where they're ordered to be bound extra and put their feet in the stocks. And then they're in there. And this is where they are. They are now in prison. And we're going to pick up in 25 before our verse. And I'll read it to you. And it says, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God." After everything that's happened, did you hear the list of things that have happened? "And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped, because he would have blamed and faced death himself. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do not harm yourselves, for we're all here.' And he called on for the lights, and they rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after they brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answer him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." The jailer has just witnessed true, authentic faith. You know, singing and praising the God despite beatings faith. You know, not escape from jail and stay in jail for the sake of the jailer's life faith. True and authentic faith, and now he wants it too. The context matters. And it matters because not only will you understand the verse, it will dwell in you. You will know what's behind it. You'll know why the Lord included it in the book. It will speak to you, and you will have an easier time remembering it because you know why it's there. Don't skip the context, ladies. There is a place for just the facts. That's like your car manual. This isn't it. We were made and created and designed to delight in His Word. And maybe you're not there yet. I have been there. I wanted to delight, but I wasn't yet. Pray. Pray for the desire to delight. Lord, please help me to delight in Your Word. All right, I am going to recommend to you quickly a systematic approach. And I'm not necessarily going to recommend it to you. I'm just going to illustrate it for you as a potential something for you. Maybe it works for you. Maybe it doesn't. There are lots of different ones of these out there. I thought about including a whole bunch, but I wasn't able to do that for time's sake. If you want to come speak to me afterwards, there are some other ones that I might could recommend to you, but this is one we use an adapted version of. Okay, so after you have done these other steps, now we're going to move into like something that you could do. If I could get one person to set up a timer on their phone, like a stopwatch, that would be great. And I'll tell you when I will need that ready. Do you mind doing that, Angel? Okay. So it's the Charlotte Mason scripture memorization system. And this is Charlotte Mason. It's a homeschool curriculum. Will you advance one? Yes, thank you. It's a homeschool curriculum, and they just have this as part of it. That's how it became aware to me, but anybody could use it. And the little QR code, it's based on a 3x5 card note card system. And what's really amazing is they sell it in packs like this, but I think what's really awesome is they make it available for free download. So if you don't want to buy it, you could download it free, and that QR code would take you to the website where you could download it free. And this is the giveaway. I have one pack that we'll do as a giveaway at the end. And so I saw this, I've seen this demonstrated, and thought, you know, that's a really great system, and we have sort of adapted that at our house too. And here's how it works. The cards, the verses are printed on the cards, and you work through, you know, memorizing those in your system like that. And that doesn't sound very revolutionary, does it? You know, it's 3x5 cards. What's really genius about this system is her dividers. And she talks about them in terms of, like, buckets in your mind about where these cards would go. So you would have, let's take today, for instance. Today is Saturday, September 16th. So you would have one card that you're practicing in your daily divider or, like, your daily bucket in your mind. One card, and that's your new card that you're trying to master, okay? And then every other card behind that you have already mastered, okay? So when you master your daily, it moves into the next one, okay? And then what you would do is you would move on into, for today, we would move into our even. There's an odd and an even bucket. You do one of those, one or the other each day. Today is an even day. This is the 16th. We do the even. And then we would next, after that, there are 7 days of the week. And so cards would live in the 7 days of the week. Today we would take out our one card behind Saturday, and we would read our one card for Saturday. So we'd read one daily, one even, one Saturday. And then you have 31 cards, which are divided up into the 31 days of the month. And so we would pull out the cards behind our 16. OK, Okay? And so that means that the 1 through 31 are the final resting place for the cards. So any that you have you mastered, they're not going to move anywhere else, which means that any card that you've mastered up to this point, you would be reviewing at least once a month, which is how it builds sort of long-term, like keeping it in your brain, which I think is really, really awesome. The other genius part of this system is that it's quick. It's super quick. So if you have the timer going, we're just going to give it a try.
Start now, or you wait, let me start.
Yeah, okay. So let's say, yeah, we would open up our cards, and we would pull out our daily card. And let's say our daily card was John 14:6, and we would say, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me except through the Father. John 14:6. And we'd put our daily card out. We'd pull out our even card, and our even card, let's say, is Hebrews 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. And we'd put it back. And then we'd move on to Saturday. And let's say Saturday was Psalm 23, and we'd pull out Psalm 23, and we would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for your rod and your staff are with me. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. I'm sorry, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. And that is a perfect example that it doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, and then you would pull out your 16 divider. You'd go to your 16 divider and you'd pull out 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you would say, no temptation has overtaken me that is not common to man, but God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you'd put it back. And that divider may have more than one card. So maybe it has two in it if you've been doing it for a while, and you pull out James 4:7, and you would say, submit yourselves, therefore, to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. And you would close your scripture box. How long did that take us?
Probably a minute 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. So we should have been on stopwatch, but a minute 30 seconds.
It's doable, ladies.
It's super doable. It doesn't have to be labored over and over and over and over. Just read your cards and let time do its work. It doesn't have to take forever. So that is the Charlotte Mason method. Okay, so now we're going to talk about, and if you have any more questions about that, because I went through it very quickly, if you are interested in her thing, I can show you her website, or I can give you some more details as we move forward through it. But it is a really great system because it's quick and because it helps you keep reviewing them over time so that the ones that you've already memorized don't get lost, because there's a built-in way for you to review them. Okay, now we're really going to talk about sort of the nuts and bolts of it. It's important for you to consider what type of learner you are. I mean, this is a learning kind of skill, so the things that have worked for you in the past are likely to work for you. You know, if you're not an audio person, then don't listen to the verses in your car, you know. Play to your strengths and understand, you know, what's going to be helpful for you. And I would ask you briefly consider this about yourself, because we're getting ready to head into like our tips and tricks and, you know, techniques and how this might, you know, actual like practical things you might use. So you're not going to be able to try all of this. It's not all going to work for you. So think about, you know, as we work through them, what might work best for you. Okay. Techniques and tips to help you memorize. So I am not a memory expert, but I have done some research, and I hope that these things are helpful for you. Okay. So the first one is movement. Movement. Secular research supports the idea that movement aids memory. Engaging the muscles while you're trying to remember things aids memory. Sometimes I do squats during it, you know. Anyhow, whatever sort of example, whichever sort of movement that you can encounter. And I'm going to give you a beautiful example that comes from William Wilberforce. And he was a man, a Christian, who led the abolition of slavery in England. And what's amazing about his story is that, you know, England did it through pen and ink. You know, we fought a gruesome war, but they legislated it away, you know, and it was not without its difficulties. And he, you know, persevered through years and years and years. It took much diligence and prayer and discernment, but he led that effort in England. And so I have this quote by Kara McLaughlin on him. It comes from the Classical Conversations website, and it says, "The life of Wilberforce epitomizes both complete reliance on God in the face of these weighty issues and the necessity of dedication to prayer. Wilberforce not only read scripture and spent time in prayer each day, but he also memorized many scripture passages. In fact, one of his daily rituals that shaped his character was the memorization of Psalm 119. Now, this is a little interruption to the quote. If you don't know Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter of the Bible. It's 176 verses. Back to the quote, where she then quotes Eric Metaxas, who said, Wilberforce would also sometimes walk the 2.5 miles from Parliament to his home. The second half of the walk took him through a portion of Hyde Park in London, and Wilberforce had timed it so that if he began reciting Psalm 119 when he entered the park, he would be finished by the time he got home. It took him 20 minutes to say the whole thing. Wilberforce was a master at connecting memorization and movement. Now, some of you, probably most, don't have a 20-minute daily walk, but some of you may. Some of you may walk your dog just that long every day, and that would work for you. Or some of you are doing a walk for exercise, and that sort of thing might work for you. Now, maybe you don't have to tackle all of Psalm 119, but you could dedicate a portion of it. But even if you don't have a 20-minute walk, we're all moving. We're all moving at some time. So I would encourage you, find pockets in your day where you're doing the same thing. Maybe you have a walk to the school bus every day. Now, maybe not the walk there. Maybe the walk back is a little quieter, and that's the time when you can do it. You know, maybe it's your walk into work. You work at one of these bigger factories, and there's a pretty good distance in. You know, maybe it's moving the clothes from the washing machine to the dryer. And you say, I'm going to do two scriptures, the same two scriptures, every time I do that. That's something we can do, ladies. Maybe it's your workout time. You know, maybe it's not the whole time, but you dedicate the first 2 minutes while you're loosening up and all that kind of stuff. Loosening up. See, I don't even know the lingo. You know, and that sort of thing. So think about movement. It really aids. The next thing I would submit to you is say it out loud. This is a big deal. Okay, it reinforces it in your brain in three important ways. You are hearing it aloud. You've got this movement in your mouth, and you're also speaking it. You're making the words. You know, when we're really familiar with something, which you will become, you'll become familiar with them, it's super easy for your mind just to kind of, yeah, I know that. You can't do that. Your brain cannot do that when you're speaking it out loud. Say it out loud. And then I will say to you later, you know, if you're writing it down, definitely say it out loud. Okay, next one. Use music. We've already shown that from the beginning. Music is a huge way to memorize anything. You know, we were created and designed for music. So you are really working with the design when you're doing that. I mean, the books of the Bible is the best example of this I can ever think. I mean, we're talking about a list of 66 unfamiliar, non-contextual, foreign names. Like, but I got them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, I'll save you all the rest. But I cannot say them, but I can sing them. It works. It works. So use music. Next one. Okay, so I have a couple of these up here. These are three that we use in our house, but this is what it's great to live in technology time. There are so many options out there. We use Sing the Word. We use Hide Him in Your Heart with Steve Green. Seeds of Worship is one that's a little bit more modern sounding. If you think some of the others are a little bit older sounding, you know, they're super catchy and they work. If you've got 15 minutes in your car ride, you know, wherever you're going with your kids, you know, put this stuff on for you, for wherever. You know, one thing I will say is one thing to be wary about, not just to be aware about in this approach is you're not choosing the scripture and you're not studying the context. So if you pick something and you pick a list that has 15 scriptures on it, then in your study time, slowly work through, you know, studying the context on those. And it will make those all the more richer for you. But music is a super helpful tool. All right, next one is write it down. For some of you, that's going to be really important. That's the way you learned when you were in school. If you were taking notes on it, you had it. If that was what worked for you in school, it will work for you with this. Write it down, write it down, write it down. But again, say it aloud as you're writing it down. If you're a doodler, then doodle. If you're a journaler, journal. You know, you could decide, I'm going to learn this verse, and every time I sit down to read my Bible, I'm going to write it out first. And you're going to write it out once a day. That will only take you a couple minutes. Next one. And then, so you can also do it this way. You know, as you get familiar with it, then start leaving blanks and see if you can fill them in. So we're going to do that now. I'll say it. Y'all fill the blanks in. Psalm 1:2. But whose delight is in the law of the
Lord,
and who meditates on his
law
day and
night.
Psalm 1:2. You guys are doing good. All right. Okay. All right. My last sort of just like tips and techniques or things to think about is set reasonable goals. Set reasonable goals, ladies, in terms of through the whole thing, in terms of how much time am I spending on this a day, what kind of passage length I'm taking. I wouldn't recommend Wilberforce right away, you know, like maybe start slower, you know, in terms of how long it's going to take you to memorize it. You know, I mean, set reasonable goals, a couple minutes a day, one verse to start, and maybe it takes you a week or two to memorize it, and that's great. You know, if you can do more and you can go quicker, then great. And if you need to slow it down, then slow it down. But don't cut corners in terms of knowing the context and reading other translations and all that sort of thing just to add another verse. Okay, so now we're going to move into making it a habit, and these go pretty quickly. How do we go from, okay, this habit that we started, it's working for us, we've got something, you know, this new practice, but how do we, like, make it a lifetime thing? Getting low. We got to be done soon. Okay. My best advice to you is link it to another habit. If you give me next slide, please. Thank you very much. Yes. Tie it to something else you're already doing. Then you don't have to find extra time. And if it's something you're automatically doing every day, if you start to train your brain to do it then, your brain will automatically go there. Whether it is reading your Bible, if you are disciplined about that every day, tie it to that. Your prayer time, tie it to that. But even if you're not doing that every day, I hope we're all brushing our teeth every day. I mean, you can say a verse or two while you're brushing your teeth every single day, whether it's walking or exercising or you're packing your kids' lunches at night or you're unloading the dishwasher or you're moving the clothes from the washing machine to the dryer or you have a school line that you wait in and you're picking your kids up or you're in the drive-thru line getting your coffee, which you do 5 times, you know, a week. Take that time and claim it back for the Lord. Fellowship with him in that time. You don't even have to spend the whole time doing it. But if you will tie it to something you're already doing, you'll be so much more successful, and it will work in that way. And that's essentially what William Wilberforce was doing again. Like, he tied it to movement, but also something he had to do anyhow. Okay. The next thing is swap it for something else if you really have to. You know, if you feel like it's enough time and you don't have enough time, then look at your schedule and cut something. I know that steps on toes, but you could give up Candy Crush or Wordle and spend the time memorizing scripture. I'm not going to belabor that. You know what's there that's not edifying. Replace it with something that is. Okay. The next idea is to teach it. If you're the type that needs outside motivation to, like, keep you accountable for this sort of stuff, then find a reason to teach it. Maybe you're a wanna leader. Maybe you're doing it with your Sunday school class, you know, kids. Maybe you've got, maybe you're parents and you're doing it with your own kids or an aunt or, you know, you're teaching or your grandkids or something like that. Come up with some sort of fun reward system and do it that way. Next one, get a group, get a partner. If outside accountability is for you, then do that. You know, I know lots of people who are competing with their acquaintances over how many steps they take a day. How about we compete over how much scripture we know? You know, and not that it should be a competition. There are a lot of people that will say, you know, don't ever make it a competition because it's not. But, you know, if that's something that motivates you, you know, then say, hey, how about we memorize this together? And then once a week, check in with them and say, this is where I'm at and this is where they're at. And then encourage one another that way. Let's see. Okay, last one. Keep your cards or your verses out. Keep them out in conspicuous places. Like, in the beginning, keep them out in inconvenient places. You know what I mean? If you're going to do this washing machine one, like tape the card to the button. So you got to move it to get to the button. You know what I mean? Like, make it, set yourself up for success. Put it on the microwave button or wherever. You know, keep something in the car. There's a lot of wasted time there. I highly, highly, highly recommend something physical. There's lots of Bible apps out there, and I don't recommend them, and I'm going to tell you why. So you have that few minutes, you think you're going to do it, and you pick your phone up. And what happens? You are sending texts. You are answering emails. You are on social media. You're ordering your groceries, and you don't ever get to it. I highly recommend a physical something manipulative. Not only is does actually holding something boost memory, you're more likely to get to it. So take that or leave that, but that's my suggestion to you. Okay. We are going to finish up. We've got just two, three more minutes on this, and I just want to, we're going to say our verse again, and then I'm going to kind of close it out on this. So let's all just, this time we're going to say the whole thing together. Like, we'll all just say it at the same time. So, Psalm 1-2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Psalm 1-2. Awesome, ladies. Okay. We've kind of done it backwards, and I want to end with you where I would normally instruct you or suggest to you that you'd begin, which is sort of the context. I'm going to read Psalm 1 for you, and then we're going to talk for just our last couple remaining minutes here about the context of this psalm. It says, Psalm 1, blessed is the man, I know it is that version, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a stream being planted, like a tree being planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The psalmist tells us, blessed is the one, blessed is the one who does not stand or walk or sit with the wicked. But, we get a big contrast here, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who's meditating on his law day and night. I want to be that tree planted by a stream of water. I want the things that I do to prosper for the Lord's glory. I want the Lord to watch over my way. We need to delight in his law. We need to meditate on it day and night. Ladies, I encourage you, let's be women who delight in the law of the Lord. Let's store up his word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Let's let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. Richly in us. Let's trust that his word does not return empty. And let's be ready to take it with us wherever we go. Because it is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Because man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these women who want to take putting it in their hearts seriously. I pray that you would just mightily bless their efforts. Prod them in the next coming hours and days to do just that. Help them get started. Help them keep going. Help them make it a practice in their life so that they can see the progress that you have brought them along, so that, Spirit, you can use this word to encourage them, to help them in sin, to speak truth to others. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for this time with them. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.